In our age of fragmentation, where everyone's reality seems to be dependent on the media they consume, it's easy to be nostalgic for days gone by. Some of you have told me with fondness how much simpler the world seemed back in the days of your youth, with three channels on TV and the calm voice of Walter Cronkite guiding you through the day's current events. And I get it. I'm not old enough to remember the three channels era, except at my great-grandparents' Wadena farmhouse, with the black and white TV that you had to put tinfoil on the antenna, and the knob would sometimes come off, so you'd have to get a pair of pliers. Some of you remember those. But I do remember there was a dominant narrative about what was happening in the world. There were other narratives, to be sure, but for the most part, it seemed like most people shared the same reality. Things seem vastly different now, but even back then, the story was told in a particular way. And that's been true from the dawn of human civilization. All cultures, all nations have had their stories that they've told in a particular way. And they address these questions: who are we? What do we believe? Why do we believe it? These resurrection stories, too, are also told in a certain way. They're told in the way they are to nurture faith in Jesus Christ. The difference between the resurrection story and all the other stories is that the resurrection story overturns every single other narrative that is told about humanity and about creation. The resurrection reveals the truth and the faithfulness of God in a world filled with spin and deceit. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because Jesus is risen, reality has changed. Death and sin have lost their ultimate power over creation and the human family. That doesn't stop the religious leaders in cahoots with the guards from trying to spin the story. They can't see Jesus' resurrection as anything but bad because they see him as a threat to their power. If Jesus is raised, that means they were wrong about him. So that story must be countered with another. Today, we might call it fake news, so that the status quo remains unchanged. See, empire in the form of these religious leaders and guards can't stand being wrong. And I'm using the term empire broadly to speak of all those powers that seek to dominate, manipulate, and exploit humanity and the rest of creation. It would be an intolerable contradiction in empire self-understanding to be wrong. That would mean they would be weak. That would mean they would lose power. And most intolerable of all, if empire were wrong, empire would not be God. All such powers, all the powers, have a vested interest in being the object of our devotion. They have an interest in spinning the story for us so that we keep believing the lies about ourselves and about each other. And empire tells us a lot of lies. A glance at much mass and social media reveals this. We're often told, for instance, who to hate, who we're better than, who is irredeemable, who's to blame for the problems of the world. All of these are told to us constantly. And we're also told another lie. We're told that the solutions to all these problems are easy, if we just believe them. But Jesus Christ is the truth, the sole truth that endures in a world of story spinning. The first clue to this is the fact that the first witnesses to the truth of his resurrection are women in all four Gospels. This is surprising because in the ancient world, women were not considered reliable witnesses to anything. Their testimony wasn't accepted in court. And the Jewish historian Josephus puts it this way, and you can feel free to boo this quote. From women, let no evidence be accepted because of the levity and temerity of their sex. Yeah, thank you. If someone in the ancient world were to concoct this story, you would not have women as the first witnesses. You just wouldn't. This tells us that the gospel is not about spinning a yarn, but it's about telling the truth, even if it might have been embarrassing in its ancient context. Thank God that it's told that way, that it's told, that the truth is told. Second, the idea that the disciples would have stolen the body is simply laughable. To what end? These were not brave men, as you recall. They all abandoned Jesus in the garden. They all leave him behind. And the Gospels make a point of showing us that they weren't that bright either. Unfortunately, they don't get what Jesus is about until Easter comes. The Gospels tell us over and over again that they just don't understand. They knew what awaited them if they told this story. Humiliation, irrelevance, or both. There was no earthly reward in this for them. There was no retirement villa on the Mediterranean waiting for them. Although that does sound kind of nice. They knew that violent opposition culminating in death was the most likely outcome. The disciples were not bound to their own survival. But they were bound to the truth. They were bound to the Word of God, risen from the dead. And the truth is that Jesus is risen for us all, defeating the powers that imprison us in sin and death. Reality has been shaken, utterly shaken. Even the creation shakes. Did you notice that in the gospel reading? Just as it did on the Friday of his death. Sin is forgiven, now and for all time, through his body and blood given for us on the cross and at this table. Death is overturned, now and for all time. At the tomb that morning, and at this baptismal font, or one like it. And we are brought into a new reality, the reality of the church, which isn't bound to business as usual. We're people of the truth. We're people of life. We're people of God's love and mercy. And the truth is that the love and mercy of God win over every lie, over every injustice, over every sin. And resurrection wins. And we who belong to Jesus Christ win too. Every time we forgive, that's victory. Every time we pray for an enemy, that's victory. Every time we come before God or our neighbor and confess our sin and receive forgiveness, that's victory. Every time we refuse to see someone as lesser than or unworthy of mercy, that is victory. Every time we speak of our hope rooted in Jesus Christ, that is victory. And we know that these little victories point to our final victory. Because we know that as Jesus was raised, we too will be raised. Death is not the end. Sin is not the end. Empire is not the end. Our destiny is with Jesus Christ. And where he is, we will surely follow. Thanks be to God. Amen.